One time I lost my wallet. Actually, I didn't lose wallet. My forgetfulness kicked in. Green Valley moment thing. And it was in the other pants pocket. I just couldn't find it. So I went through a normal process like everybody who lost wallet, including credit cards and driver license. So I went to Green Valley, the Department of Motor Vehicle. And I walked in, and I sighed because it was a long, long line. It was I got the number. It was like some two-digit number. It was a single-digit waiting on. Whether you work for the Department of Motor Vehicle or you stand in the line for a long time, it's a kind of dreading thing because people who had to wait for that long time for hours sometimes, I heard that some people have to wait for 4 hours. To them, it's like wasting their time. For those who work behind the counter, it's time and face after face, and most of the time they're grumpy, and they are not exactly kind people by the time they come to the counter. If we think that the standing in the line at the motor vehicle department is bad, I don't think we have seen anything this kind of long line. How would you like to be one of the person who stand in the line? There is only one judge for 2 million people. There's so much that Moses can do. So what these people had to do is from the early in the morning until evening, they're standing in the line and waiting. Probably if you are the one who's standing there and you're taking numbers from that ticket machine, you might be at the number 62,348. That means you're going to spend in the line for a long, long time. Folks, it's more than that. That we are going to learn about God's godly advice from the heathen man. This man, Jethro, who is the father-in-law of Moses, came and gave advice. Now, would we take that heathen's advice or not? See, we find that our society is filled with workaholics and stressed moms, because they have to take the one kid to one place and another kid to another different place, so on. And the exhausted dads. And then they have to stand in line. Seems like everything is dread, everything is lonely, everything is difficult and confused because so many things, so much time, and so many things to do in such a little time. I'm sure some of you know that. Because you have a few children and you have to run back and forth. It is no wonder they sell the stickers, bumper sticker says Mom's Taxi. Bible scholars disagree the interpretation of this particular chapter, chapter 18 of the book of Exodus. Why? Because some Bible scholars said that this is a wrong advice that Moses should not take. Some people say this is good advice. Even though it came from heathen, it is good advice. And you may wonder, how I take this? I would take it as on the side of good advice from heathen. You may say, how can you take the advice from heathen? And according to Psalm 1, we are not supposed to even listen to them. We are not supposed to walk with them. We are not supposed to sit with them. We are not supposed to listen to them. If that's the case, yes, I agree with it. But that's the within the context of when the wicked people giving the wicked advice. If we don't listen to the heathen people, we can never associate with them. That means we cannot spread the good news of Jesus Christ. How can we just spread the good news when we don't listen to them? All we want to do is just talk to them. It doesn't work. Let me put it this way. And you have to understand where I'm coming from. When God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, was his intention good? Yes. We all agree that its intention was good. However, who followed up? Man did. Same thing with this, in my opinion, same thing with this. God created the organization. God created the delegation. Because one person cannot handle 2 million people's task. Because there are so many people, and there's a dispute, and there's a dissension. Somebody had to take care of that. So God was using this man, Moses, and also using the Jethro to speak to Moses to get the right concept and how to work together with a delegation and organization. However, some people use this in their own benefit. That's where number chapter 11 comes from. According to number 11, you find 70 judges who became a Sanhedrin. They are the four organizations of the Sanhedrin. They became the one who controlling the people. Initial idea was good. That was God's idea. But however, man twisted. Just like what happened in the Garden of Eden. So you with me? So if you choose to disagree with me, that's okay. You can be wrong. So we'll just go on. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 18 in book of Exodus. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, we studied book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That way we get the whole counsel of God, not just what we want. Well, before we go there, we'll start with the prayer. Heavenly Father, open our heart to receive your guidance, how we can work with one another, and guide our heart. But let us have the discernment that comes from you. Let us have that wisdom that comes from you, so that we may have a teachable spirit with a humble heart to receive your guidance. And we're asking you to your hand to be upon our troops around the world. Keep them safe and protect them. And you're willing to bring them back safe and sound. And we also pray for our law enforcement personnel and firefighters around this community. And we are also asking for your protection upon them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 18. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses, for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took the Zipporah. How would you like to have a name? Zipporah. Moses' wife, after he had sent her back with her two sons, of whom whose name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in the foreign land. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. You might want to write there, the mountain of God is Mount Sinai. Now he had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Jethro, the Moses' father-in-law, who was a Midian priest at this point and been a Midian priest, brought his wife, Moses' wife Zipporah, and two sons, Gershom and Eleazar. This is a family reunion. Probably Moses sent his family away from Egypt while the plague was going on in Egypt. This is one of those family union without a fight, without argument. What a concept, huh? Verse 7. So the Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him. They asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to Egyptians for Israel's sake. All the hardship that had come upon them on the way, how the Lord had delivered them, then Jethro rejoiced for all the good that which the Lord has done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of Egyptian. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of Egyptian. Egyptians and out of the hands of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from under the hands of Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very things in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took the burnt offering and other sacrifice to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. When Jethro heard God's great job, great work on behalf of the Israeli people and on behalf of Moses, and he rejoiced and gave glory to God. One thing we have to notice here, there is no ounce of jealousy in Jethro's part. He was not jealous about what God is doing in Moses' life. He was not concerned about Moses became the leader of 2 million people, nor he is concerned about that he is the man who overcame the mighty king, the Egyptian Pharaoh. How often within the Christian circles, we bad-mouthing another Christian because they got blessed by God. Folks, let's remember this. We are not here, God is not here for us, but rather we are here for God's glory and pleasure. God was not created for us. We are created for Him. Let's stop thinking about kingdom attitude. I call it kingdom mentality. For a while, we were doing the radio program known as 1 Minute of Truth. And I had a lot of reaction toward that, someone from our leadership, and they said, we are not getting anybody because that radio program goes out throughout the entire Tucson and Sarita and Green Valley. And I had to tell them, when are you going to stop thinking in local scale? This is not about Kingdom of Calvary Chapel of Sarita or Kingdom of whatever you think that is. This is the Kingdom of Jesus Christ. If the person hear the radio program and come to know Jesus Christ, it's worth it. $70 per minute is worth it. We are not doing it at this point, but there were a lot of people who couldn't think anything other than their own territory. Folks, stop thinking our church, this church, or that church. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. If somebody gets saved from this church and go to somebody else's church, bless the Lord. Okay? Stop thinking limited in the one local area. Verse 13. So it was, and on next day, Moses said to the judge, the people, and the people stood before the Moses from the morning until evening. So when the Moses' father-in-law, all that he had for the people, he said, what is the things that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people came to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they came to me, and I judge between one and another, and make known statutes of God and His laws. Among such a large group, 2 million people, it's natural for the people to have a problem, a question of interpretation to settle, or the issues they want to settle, take care of. Apparently, he was the virtually only judge who can settle the score. Did you know? excuse me. Did you notice that the length of the Moses' working hours from early morning until evening? And some of you are thinking, so what's different than mine? Some of you guys are working hard. So do I. So what's the problem? However, we work with other people. Moses was the only person who dealing with all the situation. Jethro asked two direct questions. Number one is, why you and why alone? Why you and why alone? Before we pound Moses, before we go into the what the problem with Moses, let's give a break to this guy. let's face it, who in the world could lead a 2 million people congregation? And for 40 years, if you notice, he never took a vacation. These people followed him everywhere he went. How would you like to be the pastor of a 2 million congregation without any vacation, without any day off? Every time you open the tent curtain, there they are, standing there.
Moses, we want to talk to you.
I shouldn't want to have a 2 million congregation. Where are we going to find a place to get together anyway? Verse 17. So Moses and the father-in-law said to him, "The things that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourself out. For these things is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you a counsel and God will be with you." Next phrase need to be underlined. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring difficulties to God. And underline next phrase again. You shall teach them the statutes and the laws. Underline next phrase. Show them the way. These are the qualifications of the man of God, in which they must talk, they must walk and work the work that they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, underline that, and sure, such as a fear God, underline that, men of truth, underline that, hating covetousness, underline that, please. And place such over them to be rulers of 1,000, rulers of 100, rulers of 50s, rulers of 10s, and let them judge the people at all times. Then there will be the every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you if you do these things, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, underline that place. You will be able to endure, and all these people will go also go to their place in peace. Underline that also, please. And you're wondering, why you want me to underline? Well, Bible is there to study, right? Some of you guys cherish the Bible. I'm not underlining anything. I'm not writing anything on here. What if God gave you a great insight? And if you're like me, I forget. And then you cannot remember what He gave you, what kinds of insight He gave you. It's a good thing to write it down. If you don't want to write it down in the Bible, at least stick something in there, write a note. Jethro's word to Moses was more than advice of the allegation. It actually, they remind us about Almighty God and inability of a human. Let me put it this way. Moses led 2 million people to the Red Sea, correct? You agree? Could Moses take these people to the other side of the Red Sea? He couldn't. Only God could make them cross on dry seabed. When these people cried to Moses that we don't have anything to eat, what did God do? Moses couldn't do a thing. Maybe he could share his lunch pail, but that wouldn't go very far. But God brought manna and quail. When they complained about being thirsty, what did God do? He gushed out, he had the water gushing out from the rock that followed them. So, this point, even though Moses couldn't do Moses was a great and faithful leader, but he couldn't do anything for the people. God is the one who actually made it happen. Judging people is the same thing. And before we go to the judging, remember the fight with Amalekite? Moses standing on the top of the hills, he had the hands raised up. His arms grew weary and tired. Hur and Aaron came on the side and allowed Moses to sit on the stone. They had to support him. Folks, judging people, he tried from the morning until evening. He couldn't handle them all. human inability pointing to make a stark contrast against our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. So only God is powerful, and He's only wise. And Moses, though he's a strong and faithful leader, that he was imperfection, only pointed to the need of our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. Jethro gave two pieces of advice to Moses regarding this matter. Number one is represent the people before God and teaching them His word. He's a one man. He could not handle all 2 million people. So what he's supposed to do, he's supposed to go back to his primary role, that he's supposed to let the law of God and statute known to people, teach them the word of God. And then the other people will get to share that. Do you know what the pastor's job is? Do you know what the pastor is supposed to do? According to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it's where I'm supposed to equip the saint. That's what I'm doing. I'm equipping you so that you can go out, spread the word of God to other people. If you think that I'm the one who's supposed to spread the word of God alone, you are mistaken. I'm supposed to here to equip you guys. When you come here, you are not coming here to the Sunday morning religious duty. You come here to be equipped for the rest of the week. There's three things that I see. Now, Moses that selected people. There are three kinds of people that he must select. Before he select those people, three things that he's supposed to do. Number one, he is supposed to stand before God for the people. That means pray for the people. Number two, teach them the statutes and the law of God. That means instruct the people through the word of God. Lastly, but not leastly, is, in my opinion, they are equally important. Show them the way. That means Moses is supposed to lead them by example. Folks, this does not apply to leading congregation, leading the corporation, but it also applies to you, mom and dad. You're supposed to pray for your children. And you're supposed to teach them with the word of God. And equally important, you're supposed to lead them with example. If you're the one who is making a bad example, and you cannot say, don't smoke the marijuana, and while you're smoking marijuana. Have you ever seen that TV commercial? Why are you smoking? Why are you doing this? And the kid didn't know what to say. And he said, because of you, dad, because the father used to smoke marijuana. You cannot lead the children to the where you didn't go. If you went that place, and the children will follow you. Pray, teach them word of God. Number three, lead them by example. Many pastors think that they have to counsel a lot of the congregation for their spiritual need. So they spend a lot of time. There's so much time to go around, so 24 hours a day, you cannot go on for 24 hours all every day for 7 days a week. So he have to cut off from his study time. You with me? More counseling time, less study time. The congregation not getting enough spiritual food, so they need more counseling. Become a vicious cycle. I'm the opposite of that. I'd rather spend enough time, spend long hours in studying, and by the time I come to you and give you the Word of God as He intended, Holy Spirit will speak to your heart individually, cater to your needs. Guess what happened? I don't need to do the counseling because He spoke to you already. When God is speaking to you, do not reject Him. Do not say, I'm not going to do it that way. Folks, another thing. A lot of times, people come to the counseling and for the different reason. They come to me, some people, not all, everyone. Some people say, well, just agree with me what I'm going to do or what I'm doing. What they're saying is they're trying to get the green light from me. Let me make it very clear to you. If you are doing something wrong against the Word of God, don't come to me, get my approval. Number one, you ain't going to get it. Number two, my approval doesn't mean a thing. Even if I say, yeah, go for it, guy. Wah, wah. That doesn't mean a thing to God. The final approval is up to God. And you may even say, that, well, my loving God will not punish me for the sin, little sin I'm doing. Really. Don't forget that loving God is absolutely righteous, absolutely holy, and He despises sins of man. So whatever you are doing is going against the Word of God, stop it now. Does it mean I'm against the Christian counseling? No, I'm not against it. Some people need it, some people should have it. It's kind of funny to see the doing the marriage counseling. The wife said, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do this. And the guy said, she does this, she does this, she does this. I thought, why don't you guys switch back and forth and then you'll be fine. Bottom line is, before you come to counseling, let me ask you this. Read the Word. Do what it says. I guarantee you, you don't need counselor. Let me say this. There is not one subject that the Bible does not cover in counseling. And there is nobody who can give a better counseling than God through the Word of God. If you're having a marriage problem, follow the Word of God. What do you know? You have a great marriage. You have a problem with the children and with the parents, follow the Word of God. Your relationship will get better. And you're having a problem with your coworkers or your boss or your subordinate, follow the Word of God. Everything will be cleared right away. It takes time, but God will use it to make you to grow. Second point is to delegate authority by choosing qualified men to help you to lead people. Folks, delegation fails if the job isn't put in the wrong people. Delegation fails if the job is not put into the hands of able and godly men. Particular men qualified for this position. Number one, and we read, able men. That means man of ability. And you're thinking, no, duh. Well, I'm good at obvious things. Number two, fear God. That person needs to be man of godliness. Man of truth. That means man of God's word. And hating covetousness. That means he's a man of honor, not being greedy. Again, the principle not only applies in ministry, applies also in any leadership as well as in the family. It's so important to delegate work to the right people. For Moses to effectively delegate, he must still have oversight and leadership over everyone. Delegation is the exercise of leadership, not the abandoning of it. You follow me? Just because you're delegating work to somebody else, that doesn't mean you're washing your hands off and walk away. If you're a boss, you still have to oversee it. I have to give you two concepts of management. Number one is micromanagement. Number two is macromanagement. Some of you heard this word before. For those who haven't heard before, bear with me. Micromanagement. If you're a type of people who go to let somebody else do the work and go there, what are you doing? What are you doing? Looking over shoulder and checking that person, what that person is doing every 5 minutes or every so often, then you are micromanager. You do me a favor, stop. You are driving that person nuts and you are about to have an ulcer. Nobody can have a full potential doing what they're supposed to do when somebody is hovering over their head all the time. How would you like to have a micromanager on your head? You don't want it. Even the micromanager doesn't want the micromanager over their head. The other side is macromanagement. Macromanagement is kind of finding the right person for the right position and giving them the long leash. Let them run. Give them guidelines and tell them, if you need help, come see me. By doing so, you will bring the best out of that person. A lot of things that I don't know what's going on in our church because I use micromanagement. I ask our leaders to do their job. You have a problem? Come see me. This is the guideline. Go, do it. Because I believe the God who gave me the ability and gift, same God who can give same kind of gift to the other person. As a matter of fact, that person might do a better job than I can. Let's continue in verse 24. So Moses heeded the voice of the father, his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them head over people, ruler of thousands, ruler of a hundred, ruler of fifties, ruler of tens. So he judged the people all that time, and the hard case they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Much to the Moses' credit, Moses was teachable and humble, and he was secure in his position to delegate his authority to the people. The micromanager people, micromanagement people, they are the one who is insecure in what they do, so they have a hard time letting go. You sure don't want people like that. And if you are, unless you want a major ulcer problem, stop. Does it mean we should take any advice from anyone? No. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to take any advice against the Word of God. Put it against the Word of God and see how it goes. Let's go to John, 1 John 4:1. First John is right after 2 Peter and right before what? 2 John. Wow, you guys are so smart. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Next phrase, very important. But test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets had gone out into the world. Let's make an application. Number one, in every responsibility, two factors are present, essential and add-ons, additionals. Essential and additionals. Essential is the one you are called to do. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, you know what you're called to do. If you're a boss, you take care of your people. If you're a subordinate, you're working for somebody, you know what you're supposed to do. But there's add-ons, additional things that other people who couldn't do the job and end up in your lap. Is it necessary for you to do it? You evaluate, you prioritize. Sometimes we just have a plain hard time saying no. It's okay to say no. And the other person have to take the responsibility and do it. You do yours first, the prioritize things, what God called you to do, and then do the rest. A lot of people don't know how to prioritize things. Starting with the spending time with God. Remember the daily bread we hand out to you? That is the most important thing. Spend time with God each day, not once in a blue moon. You spend time with God in prayer. Then ask God to prioritize your day. You'll be surprised how much you can get the things done. Number two, as the workload increases, wise leaders restrain their involvement, involve others more. That means